Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago on a rainy and balmy, mild, I guess, for November, or it's October still, Halloween. And I have with me the podfather, the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. You know, I'm not going to be around for trick-or-treaters today, so I'm a terrible person. But other than that,
what do you mean? Well. You're taking off?
What's going on? Got stuff to do. Gonna be out of the house.
All right. Well, I hope you at least you're not one of those guys that doesn't even leave candy.
My wife will be here to manage it, so there'll be someone here. Yeah. I just get out of all the hard work and push it on her because I'm a terrible person.
Halloween was one of, as growing up in less than substantial means, was one of the big holidays for me. I would probably travel a good 8 miles collecting candy, lugging it back to the house. It was a pretty strategic maneuver for me. Did you celebrate the holiday as a youngster?
No, I don't really actually even care for candy. So my parents would make me go out and like do trick or treating for a little bit, but I would just try to get out of it. I'd like no interest.
If you had one candy bar on a desert island, what would it be?
I mean, I really wouldn't want a candy bar if I had one thing on a desert island.
I can't believe that you're not a fan of candy. It's like, I mean, I understand you got to limit it. I understand there's issues with it, but the nature of the edible is still very, very pleasant. What say
you? Good
to
know that you like edibles. I'm glad to have this information.
Do you see I'm trying to avoid the topic at hand, which is the Bulls? Well, first of all, let me just announce this. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, number one candy, unequivocally. Number two is Almond Joy. It's moved up my list. Number two is Almond Joy. All right, let's talk about the beloved Bull.
I was just going to say, those choices suck.
What do you mean? Well, what's your choice then, Mr. Candyman? What's going on? What's your
probably
choice?
Probably go with Three Musketeers. So to be fair, though, I'm allergic to both of the things you chose, so it's not entirely
my
fault.
That explains it.
Can't have almonds or peanuts, so, you know, I'm, you know, not.
If you would have said Tootsie Roll, I would have ended the show.
Deservedly
so. We got to get on to the topic. Now that we lost half our listening base, let's go on to the, because we are on a time crunch today. The beloved Bull, last time we talked, people were excited, people were happy, we're driving, waving to people. This ride is not nearly as happy. In fact, it's pretty darn right irritating for me. I was really upset, especially with that Spurs loss. It was outrageous that they lost that game. I thought we played significantly better in the Sixers game. But again, we were down at 19 at one point. Just a horrible start to the game. What say you on these two losses, and where do you think we're going to go going forward?
Well, my final prediction was 39 wins for the Bulls. I mean, nothing that's changed or has happened has really changed that I think they're probably a little bit below a 500 team. It was nice to get wins against Boston and Miami. I don't think it was surprising to lose the 76ers. You know, Zach wasn't playing against the Spurs. And you kind of look at, like, you know, Zach LaVine missed two games that we were very, very close in. And, you know, so that's just a little discouraging because you kind of feel like, maybe not for sure we'd win those games if Zach is here, but you kind of feel like, yeah, we'd have had a chance, right? And, you know, so.
Well, we would have absolutely won the Wizards game or the Spurs game if we had his added offense.
And so I think that's just tough because it's like you're now wondering, like, you know, is this issues he's having, are these temporary, you know, like a month-long thing to get him back into shape after surgery, or is this long-term problems that we're just going to be dealing with Zach for the rest of his Bulls career? And, you know, like, I just don't know that there's really a known answer to that, you know, as much as we...
I would say it's the former. Doug, I mean, he did have surgery. I think this is part of the game plan. He's looked, for the most part,
they described that surgery as a cleanup, Fred. I mean, like, how often are you 5 months after a cleanup surgery, like, struggling, you know, with back-to-backs and things like that? That doesn't sound like a cleanup surgery to me.
I mean, I'd be far more concerned if his performance on the court was, you know, like, oh my gosh, he doesn't even look like himself. I don't think that's true. I think he's played pretty well. He's getting to the line at over six free throws a game. He's shooting 46% from three. Yeah, he played poor against the Sixers, but I think overall he's played pretty well in the games he has played, the four games he has played outside of the Sixers game. I'd be far more concerned if it was kind of like affecting negative impact on his play, whereas I think they are strategically trying to rest him more. Do you agree with that? At least
I don't know. I mean, like, so
my comments on his
play. Part of it to me, like, I agree that's true, but so part of it is like, what's the longevity of his ability to play at whatever level? You know what I mean? Like, is it going to be something where it's like, yeah, I can play at a high level, but only if I rest for 3 days? And I think you're already starting to see the idea that, you know, he's just doesn't look entirely healthy all the time. I just think there's problems there. And I think that's a problem for the Bulls, potentially. That's all. Like, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. Like, there's nothing to do about it. Like, I'm not suggesting, you know, we can do anything about it. It's just, but it's just disappointing. That's all. Like, it's disappointing that this is where we're at with Zach.
Can I ask you, what do you think of the strategy to play him against the better teams? I mean, to me, I'd almost prefer they played against Washington and Spurs and sat out against the better team, just because I think we're ensuring ourselves a wins. I had predicted 44 wins. I just think it's better to guarantee that we're going to get those wins and have his participation in those games, and then, you know, hope that we get lucky in some of the games against the real opponents, at least to start out the season.
Yeah, I mean, there's one way. I don't think that's a crazy thing a crazy way to look at it, just to be clear. But who knows? I mean, what if you then lose those games? I mean, like, I don't think you shouldn't view any win as guaranteed, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, I just think it's concerning to me where they're at with Zach. And I don't think it's really no good thing to do, but just wait and see what happens and hope for the best. Like, there's, you know, but it's a huge concern. I mean, like, of all the stuff going on, you know, like, him and Lonzo collectively are now going to lock in about 50% of your salary cap over the next few years. And if those guys are both just not able to stay healthy, like, you can't recover from that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You just can't. You can't recover from that.
Well, it's a Derrick Rose curse that we had. I mean, you can't expect when Derrick Rose, the first year he had the massive portion of the cap on that max contract, he didn't play the entire season. He basically missed 3 straight playoffs. You know, he basically missed 2 straight years, taking up the largest percentage of the cap on the team. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%.
This would be worse, right?
We've seen this movie.
I mean, LaVine's taking up the same percentage of the cap, but then on top of that, you have Lonzo. So you got 2 guys. It's 50% of the cap that's going to be gone. So it's actually a bigger percentage of the cap that you're losing in this situation.
You're right. There is potential for it to be worse when you factor in Lonzo, but big picture, Zach's still playing. Like, this isn't what it was with Derrick Rose. I think that was far worse. The cap was lower at that point. It's going to be, the cap's going to go up in I think, is it next year or the following year? It's going to go up allegedly significantly. So, to me, this is not as nearly as serious as it was with Rose, which was, you know, him basically not playing for 2 full seasons as a former MVP, and basically the whole team, you know, on offense. Zach, well, at least we have DeMar, who I think is a better player or has played better than Zach.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really, like, are you focusing, though, on, like, the next year or, like, the future of the team? Like, DeMar is great for some period of time, but, like, DeMar is not going to be here in, like, 3 years, right, playing at this level?
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. It just is what it is. Like, I'm not trying to – it's just – to me, that's the biggest concern of the team, though. Like, there's, like, other stuff going on. Like, the first quarters are just getting annihilated. They have no 3-point defense. Pat Williams is just a train wreck. You know, like, there's other stuff going on. I'm not trying to say, but that's the one thing that I look at and I'm like, yeah, that's kind of a problem. And I don't know. Like, I don't know that when that gets solved is a problem, I guess is all I'm saying. Like, it's like, it's definitely an issue.
No doubt. No doubt about that. So one thing I was kind of concerned about after his return to this, was he going to settle for threes and not take as much of a percentage of shots, you know, at the rim? So I looked it up. 2 years ago, he was at 8 3-point attempts per game. What do you think he is after 4 games so far? What would you guess?
I don't know.
Without looking at it. I don't know. 7. He's at 7. And then 2-point shots, he's at 9. 2 years ago, he was at 8-11. So 8 3-pointers, 11 2-point shots per game, you know, and the vast majority of those are near the rim. So it's not completely out of whack, but I am going to keep an eye on that because any number for three-pointers and two-pointers that's close to 1-1, I think, is not good for Zach LaVine. To me, his game is, yes, hitting those open threes, and he's an excellent three-point shooter. That's great. But I still want to see him attacking the rim with reckless abandon. That's where I think he's at his best. And then facilitating more for others. I think he's a very good passer when he really tries to do that. And that passing doesn't show up if you're just shooting threes all game. You know, overall, I'm not as worried as you are, I guess, just based on how he's looked in these games. But no doubt this is a major cause for concern. You mentioned Patrick Williams, our mutual friend Mark Kay, on the last CHGO pod that I listened to, thought that Patrick Williams played his best game of the season against the Sixers. What say you? Do you agree with that assessment?
Maybe. I mean, but it wasn't like he was great. Like, okay, you're playing at out of the league level and now you're not. Congratulations to you, I guess. I mean, like, I just...
Let's have a party, yeah, Doug. I think it's great news. He's getting better.
I mean, yeah. Like I said, it's true. It's an accurate statement. I just don't know that I care about it. Like,
I think he actually said he was good, which I laughed out loud when he said that. Like, I didn't think he was good. I think he was average, you know, and like, I guess relative to his previous performances, yes, he was good. But relative to an average NBA player, no, he was not. He can't rebound. He sucks at it. And what drives me nuts about Patrick Williams is his navigation to screens. For a guy that's so big and allegedly so athletic, he is terrible at navigating screens, and it's a massive reason why we start out these games so poorly with our pick-and-roll defense, because almost every freaking time they're calling him out, either at the point of attack or as the guy who's responsible for the man cutting. The Boston game, he should have been sat for a week, how bad he was early in that game, guarding Tatum on screen. So, I don't know. What say you?
Again, I agree with you. I have no energy around Pat Williams anymore. He's not good. Just pull him out of the starting lineup. You just got to pull him out of the starting lineup. That's all it comes down to. He's not a starting caliber player.
Pull him out
player.
And replace him with who? What's your call there? Like, how would you replace him? Like, would you go with Caruso?
I think I'd probably go with Green. You know, the other thing, too, is I would probably pull Zach out of the starting lineup, even though everyone just threw up in their mouth.
yeah, I don't agree with that decision, but go ahead.
It's like you're trying to manage his health anyway. I would just let him come off the bench and like split that up, because I think it's like really jarring for the starters to have to deal with Zach being in and out of the lineup. You know, it's like they have no continuity. Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason why that roster is so shitty. That unit is so shitty. He's not getting a chance to practice with them regularly. And it's not like swapping Green and Pat Williams, where like those guys aren't going to be major facets of the offense. But you're not really able to even practice your first team offense as a team because Zach is so limited. So while he's working his way into shape, while he's getting his knee stable, you know, let him come off the bench and work with that unit where he can just control the ball a lot more and the starting unit can get some continuity going.
In 150 minutes so far this season, take a guess how many offensive rebounds Pat Williams has. 150 minutes.
I don't know. One?
On an NBA court.
Two?
Three.
I mean, like,
he had zero against the Sixers. He's our power forward!
We talked about him last show, right? As, how many rebounds he has relative to the team, and he had the lowest rebound rate outside of Dragic and Kobe White on the team. So, yeah he's not a rebounder. I think we know that's true.
Yeah. What would you guess he is on the team, total rebounds? He's seventh. He's seventh.
Yeah.
Seventh on the team.
I mean, total rebounds. I was looking at rebounds per minute. I don't know that you want to look at total rebounds, but just depending. But yeah. But yeah, it's not good, right? No matter how you slice it, it's not good.
No. Javonte Green's played probably, let me look it up for certain. He's played about 25 less minutes, and he's almost doubled this total amount of rebounds. Javonte Green has 23 rebounds compared to Patrick's 14. Like, guy can't rebound. He's not a good defender. I'm tired of all the excuses for him. But we're done with him. We addressed that. I agree 100%. I'd pull him out of the starting lineup. I'd like a starting lineup of Io, Caruso, Zach. I think Caruso's just so good defensively. and so much better. I will also say, and this was brought up to me, that Caruso needs to start hitting some jumpers, though. He's really significantly suffered from a shooting aspect. I don't know. Maybe it's because he's expending so much energy on the defensive side, but you know, he's really struggled shooting the ball since he's arrived in Chicago compared to where he was. And then DeRozan and, I guess, Vooch at the center position.
Yeah, I mean, I also think about Caruso there, too, and I don't think that's crazy, just to be clear. But it's the reason I go against that a little bit is just I think he adds something to that defensive unit, or second unit. And like, you don't always want to just chug everyone who's, you know, kind of okay in that starting unit. So that's the only thing that, like, makes me think, like, yeah, maybe I'd do something a little different there, but I think it's a totally reasonable approach to say I want Caruso in the starting lineup. I mean, he's certainly good enough. You know, he
well, Goran, yeah, and Goran and Andre too, Drummond, are, you know, it's clearly developed a pretty good rapport. I think a big key to those two that's not talked about enough is that Caruso is on the court for the most part, for the most of their minutes, and is really, you know, bringing that defensive presence, which Goran just doesn't have anymore. So I think he is kind of key, you're right, in that you don't want to take him off the bench and kind of ruin what that group has going on.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, while you're missing Zach, and it probably won't be this bad all season, but so far you're missing Zach like half the games, and you're missing Lonzo for all the games. You know, that's just a lot to overcome. You know, it's just like, I just don't think you can underestimate how difficult it is to overcome that. Because you're like I said, you're missing like 50% of your cap allocation. It's like off the floor. So it's like, that's just, you know, it's maybe your second and third best player. Your second player is out half the games and isn't practicing fully, and your third best player is out all the games. That's just a lot to overcome for a team that's like, maybe if everyone's healthy, is like a 45-ish win team. You know, it's really hard then to see. Yeah, I mean, like, I think if everyone is healthy and, like, we knew Ball would be healthy all year, I think they would maybe be close to 50 wins. You know, it's just factoring in what they're actually going to put on the court. You know, it's like, I now think they're going to be below 500. And it's because they can't get all these guys to play the games. And if you're going to miss your second best player for, like, say, a third of the games minimum, and your third best player for maybe half the games, it's just, you know, that's going to have an impact on your win-loss record, and that's where the Bulls are.
Mm-hmm. I do want to get to Vooch, who played arguably one of the worst games of his career against the Spurs and was a big reason why we lost that game in 24 minutes. I was shocked that he was actually reinserted in the game in the fourth quarter when Drummond deserved to have every freaking minute of that fourth quarter. Who Drummond played fantastic against the Spurs. So against the Spurs, he was 4-13 shooting, 1-5 from 3. Just terrible performance, two turnovers, and he only had 5 total rebounds in 24 minutes. Then the next night he comes back against the Sixers and plays very well, 5-7 from 3. I know Marquet celebrated that fact, and it up until that point on the season he was shooting 26% from 3, and one night he basically rose his average 10 points to average. So what do you think of Vooch, especially the last two games against the Spurs and Sixers? And are you starting to gain faith in him again?
I don't know why you would possibly think I would gain faith in Vucevic.
I just wanted to hear your reaction. Just wanted to hear me say it.
I mean, yeah. Look, he is who he is. Like, I don't think there's any reason for you to be excited about Vucevic. But at the same time, like, you know, it's okay that he's doing what he's doing this year. Like, he's better this year than he was in previous years. I guess I just leave it at that.
Outside of the Spurs game, no doubt.
Yeah, and so it's like, okay, he's not perfect. We know he's not perfect. So then what are you left with? Like, well, you know, at least he's contributing now. He's still rebounding well, which he's always done. He's still passing well, which he's always done. And, you know, now he's at least is shooting overall. His number of, like, really bad games is maybe down a little bit. But, you know, he's still kind of just on par to be exactly all the things I've complained about, generally speaking, which is overall inefficient and, you know, just not a great defender, which we know. Like, I don't think anyone really is arguing that. And so when you have a guy who's inefficient on offense and not a great defender, like, what do you really think you're going to get out of that guy that's so great? Like, yeah, is maybe a little bit better than last year, but like I don't think notably better in any way. I mean, like here's his stat line, just looking it up now. Last year 17.6 points per game, this year 17 points a game. Actually, we'll switch to minutes, per minute stats. So per 36 minutes, 19.2 last year, 19.7 this year. Rebounding is up a bit, 12 last year to 13.8 this year. Assists slightly down, 3.5 versus 3.3. Steals and blocks slightly down. But again, those are not really worth noting about. His three-point percentage now up to 36.4% with that one big last game. Prior to that, like you said, it was very low versus 31.4. So he's just up a little bit in general. Two-point percentage actually down to 46.8% versus 53.7 last year. So he's up overall a little bit. But when you look at like the actual games and you say, like, well, how is he actually playing? You know, it's like, all right, he was really good in game two, I think, where he had like 12 of 12 from the line. Didn't really shoot well, but the 12 for 12 for the line made it like a good game. You know, he was okay in game three, shot 7 of 12 from the field. He was good in this last game, 8 of 14 from the field. But those are the only two games he was over 500, 501 game. So he's kind of still like every other game is sort of a clunker. And, you know, that's just probably what you're going to get for him, which is fine. I think the only thing wrong with Vooch is what we traded to get him. Even on his $20 million deal, like, I think he's okay. He's not, like, a great value at $20 million, but he's okay. Like, he's not like, oh, this guy's a train wreck. You can't play him. He's not Pat Williams, right? So he's okay. But it's just really just comes down to what you paid to get him was just a mistake. But that's old news now. So I'm fine with Vooch. I don't think you're going to see a whole ton of Vooch hate from me this year, except when people, like, just try to talk him up like he's a star again. Because he's not. But, you know, as like your fourth best guy.
Or act like he recruited. Act like he's a great recruiter.
Well, whatever. Ignoring the whole recruiting thing. It's just like when, if you talk up like what a great impact he's having. He's not. He's okay. He's like a solid guy. He's like a solid starting caliber player. He's like your 4-5 starter.
Yeah, he's been fine. He's been fine for the most part.
Yeah, I don't have any complaints about him. Like you said, the San Antonio game was kind of a train wreck. But generally, I don't have any complaints about him. It's just, yeah, he's just fine.
I just still would like him to see the three, hit the three with more regularity.
Of course.
I mean, you just see how much better the team plays when he hits the three.
If you look at it, he's had one good three-point shooting game. Oh, sorry, he was 2 of 3 in game three. And then the rest of his games, 1 of 5, 2 of 7, 0 of 3, 1 of 3, 1 of 5, and then last night's 5 of 7. And so it's kind of like I said, when you look at like it's, now his overall percentage is pretty solid based on this one good game. But it's not really that meaningful if you shoot really, really well in 1 out of 7 games, you know, and you're not able to do that a little bit more consistently. Like, you'd like to see a lot of 2 of 5s sprinkled in there, you know, like stuff like that. And then you'd feel a little bit happier about the overall percentage because there'd be some consistency.
One final question I have for you. If I turn over the keys to you, Doug, in terms of the organization, I buy the Bulls and I say, Doug Tone is going to be my GM. Based on what you've seen so far this year, give me the concrete steps you would make as we approach the trade deadline in February, and like, what would you do with this team? Assuming that we're going to be right around 500, which I predicted 44 wins. You had 39. Big picture, I think most people say they'll be about a 500 team this year. What would you do?
I would.
If you were running
this? I would look to aggressively sell DeMar DeRozan if I thought I could get something good back for him.
Well, you can absolutely get 2 number ones and with the Lakers. Would you consider that a worthwhile deal?
Yeah, I'd do it. And I know it would make the team worse and fans would hate it and they're all throwing up their mouth. But, like, where is this team going, Fred? Like, where is this team going? Do you think as constructed we're like a move away from the second round of the playoffs?
I honestly do. If we somehow acquired Jay Crowder and Ball came back. So those are two big ifs, right?
And Zach stays healthy.
Zach stays healthy.
That's three big ifs.
Three big ifs. Well, I don't consider Zach being healthy.
I don't know why you would not consider that a big if at this point. How five months after like a minor arthroscopic surgery, you're like in this kind of load management at his age? It's a concern. It's a long-term concern.
It's a concern. I'll predict, looking into my crystal ball, Zach will be healthy for the playoffs. If Ball comes back and we get Jay Crowder at the four, like, I don't think the Bulls are that far away. Now, again, you're right. The odds of all those three things happening are pretty slim. But if they upgrade the power forward position, I do think the Bulls can be win a first-round playoff series. And to me, I'd rather go in that direction and have a puncher's chance against Milwaukee or the Sixers. I don't think the Sixers we all thought were in the top three. After watching that game on Saturday, seeing how the Sixers have played this year, are they miles ahead of the Bulls? No. Is Boston? Probably not either. Like, I still think Milwaukee, when healthy, is probably significantly better because they have Giannis. But if you're an injury away from potentially getting to the finals, I don't think it's worth it to just blow it up.
I just don't think we're an injury away from potentially getting to the finals.
Do you? If Giannis, God forbid, suffered an injury, we kept him out of
ninth
the playoffs.
Right
are you
now.
Telling
we're,
me you don't
we're
think
we're tied with ninth right now for ninth? We're not an injury away. And granted, barely any of the season has been played. But like, I don't think we're better than the Bucks. I don't think we're better than the Cavs. I don't think we're better than the Celtics. You know, like, I don't know that we're better than the Raptors. I don't think we're better than the 76ers, even though the Heat have been lousy. By the end of the season, pretty good chance we're not going to be better than them. We're, like, on the same tier as, like, the Hornets, the Knicks, you know, and the Atlanta Hawks, maybe.
My point is, Doug, we're not far enough away. We're not far enough away from those teams to just say, let's do another rebuild. I don't think that's the
right course. Yeah, I mean, the tough thing for me, Fred, is yes, what I would do, and it's like, it's hard because we went so far down the path that we're on that, you know, it's hard to change the course now. But if I got brought in...
No, I see what you're saying.
But if I got brought in, that's what I would do. Because, like, I just don't see where you're going to go anywhere at this team. I don't see how you're going to build upon this.
Would you consider trading Zach?
I would consider trading Zach, too. I don't know that there's going to be a big market for Zach, to be honest with you. With his huge contract and knee issues already, I don't think I said you should trade Zach 2 years ago when he had like a couple years left and on a really cheap deal and was playing at an all-star level. I think you could have got three number ones for him. And I don't think that type of offer is going to be out there anymore.
Sixers just might be desperate enough to make an offer like that to continue down this road. And I think he'd actually be a great fit with Embiid.
I think so, too. I don't know if he actually – I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know if the 76ers can make that type of offer. You know, the problem with trading with the 76ers, though, is, like, do you have any confidence those picks you're going to get back are good? The one thing I like about the Lakers trade is it's like, yeah, everyone on that roster is it's like a dumpster fire. Like, you know, by the time the picks come due, they're going to have to go through a complete rebuild without having had any draft capital. And so the odds of those picks being good are very high, whereas the odds of the 76ers picks, if you have Embiid and Zach, like, who knows? I mean, both those guys could get hurt because they've had historical problems. You could get some great picks, but it wouldn't shock you if those picks just weren't any good either.
Let's look in the crystal ball as we wrap this up and bring the big red bus in. And I apologize, I have to cut us off early. They got the Nets tomorrow night. They got the Hornets on Wednesday. So back-to-back. Zach will probably miss the Nets or probably I predict he'll miss the Hornets game. And they got the Celtics on Friday. Next three games, what do you think they're going to win?
I mean, I sure hope they can beat the Nets and the Hornets. I don't think they're going to beat Boston again. I think Boston's going to come with a chip on their shoulder.
I think the Bulls will be 2-3. They'll be 2-3 in the next few games. And so when we reconvene next weekend, probably before or after the Raptors game, they should be right at 500.
We will hope for the best. I think that's the best case outcome. We're going to hope for that.
Sounds good, my friend. Let's end it on a high note. Let's bring this beautiful bus in. It's always good to talk to you, my buddy. Let's go Bulls.
Go Bulls.